Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Better Than Life, your Red Dwarf podcast. I'm Fergus.
And I'm John.
And this is your interim episode, as has suddenly become tradition insofar as we've done it once before, covering the gap between series 2 and 3.
Just calm down, take a breather, relax.
You'll need that relaxation. You'll need a bit of meditation because series 3, oh my gosh, it's such an amazing series of Red Dwarf. So good. There's so many amazing episodes. Polymorph, Maroon, Backwards, Body Swap, Time Slides, Last Day. That's all of them, but they're all amazing.
It does accelerate, doesn't it? They really put their foot down for series 3.
They really do. They really do.
And so are we.
Yeah, that's true. Our guest lineup for series 3 is awesome. Joining us from next week. Will Duggan.
He'd turn up, he'd do a little spin on his heel and say you look good enough. Well, yeah, do you know what? You're a catman in space. That's all I need from you.
Kirsty Newton.
All the characters are misfits and they have to deal with each other's completely different ways of going about life. As an 11-year-old to 18-year-old, that's very much how I felt.
Nick Doody.
A lot of good shows have this thing where your favourite character constantly changes. Lister is the one I would most imagine as being more like me.
Tom Price.
It was my comedy awakening. Red Dwarf was the thing that I loved the humour of, but loved the show.
Duran Jono Johnson.
I love that the way they get in is heavy sci-fi. I feel like I've gone on a huge journey into that alternate reality. But there was just four guys stood in a car park. I love that most of these stories are they go and sit in a room and chat.
And kicking off series 3 with Backwards, next week it's Vic Slayton.
He's living his best life with a compliant person who doesn't know well enough to not respect him yet.
Oh, what a series. What a series. Can't wait. You know, it's very different, Series 3, from Series 2 of Red Dwarf, for many, many obvious reasons. I'm sure any listener who's not watching along with us is fully aware of those changes. But let's just mention them briefly so that Series 3 isn't too much of a shock. There's a couple of characters being introduced, reintroduced.
Yeah, tweaked, let's say. And polished and thrust back onto the limelight.
There's set changes as they move out of the old bunks and into the officers' quarters. Is that now?
That's right, yeah.
There's costume changes. People get behatted and bejacketed in really cool ways.
Well, they look super shiny, yeah.
But John, you've been looking into a specific story thing that covers the changes from obviously series 2 last week with Stuart Goldsmith. The parallel universe ends with Lister pregnant.
Yeah, so series 3 begins with Lister very much not pregnant and the characters very much not talking about it.
What's going on there?
It starts, as anyone who's seen it will know, with a very, very rapid opening, Star Wars style opening crawl headed Red Dwarf 3, the saga continuums, the story so far, and then they tell you the story so far, but they do it so fast that you would have no way of knowing up until quite recently. Even pausing a VHS back in the day, it would have been impossible to read this stuff. But they do actually tell you exactly what's happened. And most of it is from a missing episode. So this interregnum between series two and series three seems to be quite a good time for us to chat about the missing episode of Red Dwarf, which is called Dad.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, this is where it would go.
Yeah, that's right.
In the running order, right? So, yeah, okay. Tell us about Dad.
Not a very Red Dwarf title, is it? And I guess maybe that's the first sign that although this script exists, or at least certainly big chunks of it exist and are out there, it's not. It never made it into production. And ultimately, it was because it was all about fatherhood. So this was going to resolve what happened with Lister's pregnancy. And it seems that what happened is that they just, Rob, Grant and Doug Naylor weren't happy with how the script was coming together. It didn't feel right. And that seems to be because they were both in very different places as regards fatherhood at the time. So Doug was a relatively new father. We mentioned this when we were chatting with Stuart last week in the Parallel Universe episode. Rob hadn't had kids. So it seems like they were just finding very different aspects of fatherhood interesting or not interesting, and funny or not funny. Yeah, they couldn't quite make it work. But it's fascinating to dig into because there's loads there, most of which is in this opening crawl. So maybe if I talk about what's in that, and then I'll point out where Dad would have been a little different if it was ever made.
Please.
So the pregnancy concludes with the successful delivery of twin boys, Jim and Bexley. Now, we know that about Jim and Bexley from Future Echoes. This is according to the opening scroll now. In the episode Dad, it would have been one child, which is interesting because then that sort of doesn't resolve the continuity, does it? That just throws another mystery into the mix. I guess maybe there's another kid down the line.
It kind of goes halfway to resolving it, maybe. Maybe in their heads there was like, well, if we resolve half of the mystery,
yes,
we can satisfy an arc, but also leave an arc open if we wanted to do another having a kid
right.
story. Maybe?
Maybe Lister with the evil beard has a kid with Pachansky. Yeah, who knows? But yes, regardless, so the official canon, according to the beginning of Backwards, Jim and Bexley are born. However, because they were conceived in another universe with different physical laws, they suffer from highly accelerated growth rates and are both 18 years old within 3 days of being born. We've not seen any evidence of this in the Power Universe, you know, with Arnie Rimmer and Debs Lister. You know, that kind of implies that they're 3 days old at the time that we meet them, perhaps. Pretty new to the world. So I don't know exactly what happens in terms of the science of this, but, you know, best not to dwell on it, right? So Lister returns them to the universe of their origin, where they're reunited with their father, brackets, a woman. That part of the scroll was written by Roger Moore. And they're able to lead comparatively normal lives, which is great. So that's what happens to the pregnancy. In the episode itself, Dad, as I say, there would have been one kid. It was delivered by Crichton, who we would have seen practicing a C-section on a mango.
Mango?
Yeah, a mango.
All right.
But yeah, we'd have seen that happening. Rimmer would have been loving the whole thing. And Lister, while heavily pregnant in Dad, would have found and fixed Crichton. Last seen him going off in Marlon Brando mode on a space bike. He crashes into an asteroid and has to be put back together. So Lister would have done this whilst heavily pregnant in the episode Dad, but he fails to recapture his former personality, which is why we now have a different voice. Presumably that accounts for the different facial stylings even.
Sure.
Of the Crichton that we're about to meet in series three. But yeah, that's how he came back to Red Dwarf and how he came to be a little bit different. And the final piece of the puzzle that they reveal in the opening crawl is what happened to Holly. And why the Holly that we're about to see is no longer Norman Lovett. According to the words of Rob and Doug, the increasingly erratic Red Dwarf computer performs a head sex change operation on himself. He bases his new face on Hilly, a female computer with whom he'd once fallen madly in love.
Well, that's lovely.
It is lovely, isn't it?
That's a lovely, yeah. That's a lovely idea. I like the crawl. I like that there's information in there. When you paused it, that crawl, well, you couldn't pause it on telly for a start. Like Arthur Smith talking backwards and backwards, they probably didn't necessarily foresee the internet happening where someone would take yes. it and reverse it and slow it down.
Yes. But it's funny that they do tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
But they present it to you in a way that is impossible for you to access for another couple of decades.
I think you can even find thematic stuff in there, like the fatherhood thing.
Mm.
I know this is a bit weird, but and it's, well, it, to be fair, it's a trope that comes up in sci-fi quite a lot. Is a creator a father or mother? If you create a robot, or I guess in Lister's case, saving a robot or regenerating a robot,
yeah.
Is he somehow siring, parenting that robot?
Blimey.
Hello, we overthink things. Welcome to the Overthinking Podcast. Yeah, I mean, that's there, right?
I
wouldn't be surprised if they jettisoned the whole idea of exploring fatherhood because they figured their audience wouldn't necessarily be into it.
Yeah.
Who wants an exploration of fatherhood in sci-fi at this stage of knowing Lister and Rimmer and what the potential of what they could be up to? It feels like a kid. I mean, can you imagine a kid turning up in Series 3 of Red Dwarf?
Well, that's it.
What an albatross.
Yeah, a totally different show. And then you'd constantly, every episode you'd need to find a reason to explain why the kid wasn't there.
Yeah.
And why it was perfectly fine, don't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been really, really difficult. And I guess, you know, it's a sci-fi show, so they've got the option to just put those mechanics in about the rapid aging, and it's all right, guys. We're saving the lives of these kids by sending them back to their mum.
Let's not worry about the actual semantics of the science.
Yes,
they're just telling us that's how the science is. It's fine.
It's their science. Why not?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. They made it up. Also, returning Jim and Bexley back to Parallel Universe would have involved using the Holly Hop Drive again, presumably.
Yeah.
And I think they're just averse to going back on old plot points. We mentioned this back in Better Than Life. They still have Better Than Life on board the ship somewhere. They just haven't gone back to it because it was, well, Rimmer ruined it.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, because some of the stuff that they get, like, I mean, I won't talk about it too much now because we haven't got to that episode yet for anyone doing this for the first time, but Time Slides, you know, that potentially opens the door. You could make a whole different show out of Time Slides, couldn't you?
Do you know what? It also, we'll get to Time Slides. Who's our guest for Time Slides? That's Jono, isn't it?
That's Jono. Awesome. Yeah, and he has been thinking about Time Slides a lot.
Well, that's good to know. Hopefully the listener will be expecting a high watermark of chat quality.
Yes, I think it's fair to say they can expect exactly such a watermark.
Yeah, they can expect what they like. Oh, John. What am I going to do?
What's wrong, man? You look really down.
I've really enjoyed rewatching Red Dwarf and talking about it with you and our hilarious guests. But
yeah, me too.
When I'm not watching Red Dwarf, I find I have very little to entertain me. I need something. I'm missing some really good music in my life.
I understand. Would you like a solution to that problem?
It would be churlish of me to say no.
It would. So don't. Say yes.
Yes.
How do you like music that's happy?
I love happy music. Happy music makes me happy.
Music that's angry?
I love angry music. Angry music makes me happy.
Music that involves mostly guitars?
Sure, it's an instrument.
Keyboards?
I'm a fan of keyboards, yeah.
How do you feel about jokes?
Jokes? In music? Okay.
This exists. It's by Holy Goats, who do our theme tune, who are us. And you can hear this music at holygoats.bandcamp.com. That's holygoats.bandcamp.com. There are three whole albums there to discover, including one that contains references to Red Dwarf in the lyrics.
Thank you. I'm off to listen to all of holygoats.bandcamp.com.
Do it at holygoats.bandcamp.com.
Will do.
Use the offer code. You don't need an offer code. It's free. It's free. Listen to some music for free. We'd love it if you did. Thank you.
Hey, John, we've had some really lovely emails from listeners. Can I read one to you?
Yeah, do. We've got some lovely listeners.
You're right. This is from lovely Freddie in Halifax, West Yorkshire. He writes, Dear BTL crew, loving the podcast so far.
Yay.
Just wanted to point out a small detail from the Better Than Life episode itself that I've only recently noticed, as the podcast has encouraged me to re-watch the series in far greater detail. I'm very happy to hear that, Freddie. That's awesome. Yes, go as granular as you can. That's what we're all about.
Too much detail is not enough.
That's right, no such thing. He continues, towards the end of the episode, when Rimmer's fantasy within the game begins to completely degenerate, his H reappears on his forehead.
Oh.
Presumably, this is emblematic of his insecurities and neuroses, which are now being laid bare.
Mm-hmm.
However, in a blink-and-you'll-miss-it moment, where Magruder is inquiring as to the whereabouts of the nappy sacks, Rimmer's seven children also appear to have H's on their heads.
Oh, wow.
What's that all about, then? Keep up the good work. Best regards, Freddie. Thanks, Freddie.
Yeah.
Awesome thing you've noticed.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, did you?
Not at all.
I'm not sure that I noticed Rimmer's actually reappearing either, but the one about the kids is really interesting.
The one on Rimmer's forehead is, as Freddie says, I think pretty obviously emblematic of his brain seizing up and falling apart. But the kids having H's, yeah, that's a different thing entirely. That's through to a different kind of pathology, right?
Like, yes.
That's something else.
It's very dark if you follow the suggested logic of that through to its conclusion. He's got seven ghost children.
We know that some of the design in Red Dwarf, they don't they have a bit of a laugh when it comes to kind of lineage and things like that, like the pink Scutter.
Oh yeah, right. Yes, yes.
Scutters are able to reproduce and have gendered children, which is okay.
Yeah, it sort of undermines all of our progressive points we were making about how this episode's not sexist at all.
I would hope that if you were a grown up watching it in the '80s, you'd be like, oh, that's a silly thing.
Well, exactly.
Like, that's the pink Scutter, the kid Scutters, the mini Scutters as children. Catherine is more a joke from the Abrams Zucker Airplane school of jokes than...
Yes, it's a joke on gender stereotypes as much as anything else, isn't it, really?
So I think maybe those H's appearing on Rimmer's kids' foreheads in Better Than Life is a similar go at kind of saying, this is how bad it's got, this is how daft he is, this is how self-destructive he is. Maybe him wearing that H is the end of hope for him, right? Because he died, that's why he has to wear it. He is given Better Than Life, a lifeline, somewhere where he can live and experience the things, as he says himself, taste and feel and all that stuff. He has hope again.
Yes.
But then as it starts to fall apart, he has the H on him. Kids can represent hope, I guess. Or they certainly represent a future in some way. Yeah, I mean, however you look at it, it's not great.
It's really not. Yeah, okay. No, I like that reading. So it's basically a way of saying your children, like you, will inherit all of your bad stuff, and they too will be unable to grasp the life that they want to live. It's already too late for them because they're yours.
I think that says more about parenthood and the psychology of parenthood than maybe the episode called Dad would have. But
feel like it.
Because what you've just said feels true and correct.
Oh, how incredibly bleak. But thanks, Freddie, for sending that in. That's such a good spot. I'd never noticed that.
Yeah.
I've got an email, actually.
Oh, is it?
And it's not dark, but it is cool. So this is from Andy. Andy says, hi guys, I'm new to your brilliant Better Than Life podcast. Thanks to Tom Neenan singing your praises on a wheezing, groaning sound, which is lovely to hear. That's awesome to hear that we're getting shout-outs elsewhere.
Amazing.
Fantastic. Andy continues, I absolutely love it, having listened to Series 1 in an afternoon. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I hadn't quite clocked that when I first read this.
Oh,
the whole
days.
Of Series 1 in an afternoon. Amazing work. Thank you, Andy. That's wonderful.
Andy.
Anyway, he says, I was something around that we'd have to bleep out if I said it, so I just won't. I was something around on the internet and found a complete in-show timeline I thought you might be interested in. And you know what? I really was, because this is amazing. So let me just dig out. I've got it open here. I will give you... He's included a hyperlink. So anyone who wants to look this up... it's super long. Your best bet, guys, might be to just Google TV Tropes Red Dwarf Timeline or something. But the full internet address is tvtropes.org/pmwiki/pmwiki.php/timeline/reddwarf.
Let's pop it in the show notes as well.
Yes, good shout. We'll link it in the show notes. This is an absolute labour of love, this thing. So somebody has literally gone through the whole of Red Dwarf and they have typed out a timeline of everything that happens. So all of the time travel and stuff, we've got everything that they go back and do in the 20th century. We've got everything that happens to them in the 22nd century. And everything we learn about that life pre the accident. And then it's got all the 24th century stuff as well. List coming out of stasis, everything that comes out after that. It's just absolutely immense. And it takes us literally from the Big Bang 14 billion years ago all the way through to the Big Crunch occurring. And that, of course...
Oh, yeah, of course.
...is what we're going to be looking at in more detail next week.
Oh, yeah.
When we kick off Series 3 with Backwards.
What an iconic episode.
And we'll be doing that along with our very special guest, Vix Layton.
I can't wait. See you there, listener.
Pour me an Erskip. I'll join you in the podcast.
It's a show about a man who's lost 3 million years in space. His company and evolved cat and a hologram he hates. Plus a fuzzy robot. Ship that's gone senile. We love the jokes and sci-fi stuff, that's why it's Better Than Life.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.